Hello, everybody, and welcome to ROMs Over Baghdad. I'm your host, Albi. Welcome. This is episode 107 of the ROMs Cast. Joining me on this lovely video game filled day is my co-friend host, DJ The Optics.
My co-friend host.
Co-friend host. Yep, a co-friend host. You're here to co-host the friend zone. Something. Popcans is here also. Hi, Popcans.
Like, he's not very good at anything. Now he's on this fucking panel, and he's just not good.
Popcans is throwing shade at Dota personality. What's his name? That's the Dota personality that you're just throwing shade at?
Lumies,
okay.
This is a TI last time, too. Like, last TI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was casting in the final day, yet one of the best caster duos wasn't. And it's like, what are you doing, Valve? All right, you're giving it to the people who've been in this industry the longest yet, who got outranked by all these upcoming talents. Yeah, you're still using these junkers. Like, get out of here, fucking Toby. You're not good.
Damn.
You're good. OD, get him up there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Also, special guest today.
You can cut that all, by the way.
No, I'm not going to cut any of that. You just went on a rant, and now you've thrown shade, and now you've been, I don't cut scandalous hot takes. Also joining a special guest, Cyber. Hello, Cyber. First time, right?
I'm lost. Hi.
Hello. Get lost? Oh.
Good. I'm sorry you landed up here.
I'm trapped in the podcast.
Yep. Oh. Yep. Welcome. You're trapped forever now. See, this is what happens. Mary and Jake is out. So we had to grab some people. And by grab some people, I mean locked them in a dungeon in northeastern Mexico. And that's where we are right now. In northeastern Mexico. Doing a podcast. That's good, though. It's great. What are your thoughts on Lumies, the Dota caster, Cyber?
Stop.
What do you
I think he should be ashamed of himself.
Okay, good.
Yeah, how dare you be Asian?
Damn.
No, not that part of it.
Okay.
The other part.
Okay, that's fair.
The part that's too hot for this podcast.
Damn.
What?
Too hot for this podcast. That's good. No, all right.
I don't follow Dota at all. I don't know what's going on.
Nor do I.
As you shouldn't.
Okay. All right.
Popcans tried to describe this to me earlier, and I don't know why it's.
No, it was that was something else.
Anyways. Oh, so this is something new.
Well, new as in my bad hot takes. Yes.
Okay.
This is not drama-licious like the thing I was talking about earlier.
So delicious.
Casting studio drama is my favorite, but it's not that exciting.
Hot.
He's like, what's your top three dramas? If you could rate them in order, 1 to 3, hottest dramas you like. Is this in like top three, or is there a hotter drama that you prefer?
I like the time when Gabe went to the Dota Reddit and called 2D a ass. That was pretty cool.
Whatever happened to that guy? He's still around?
Gabe.
Yeah,
Gabe.
Valve
is
guy.
Gabe around? Is he still?
No. CEO
still
guy, yeah,
knives. He's still out there sharpening knives. All right, that's good.
You can always get more knives.
Always. I mean, we gotta sell hats to fund a knife collection because it's extensive, from what I hear. Extensive and frightening. Okay. Oh, all right. Is that guy still around? The one that got called the jackass or whatever? We won't be working with him or whatever. That was the.
I mean, he's not really. He even before then, he wasn't really active in the Dota scene, and he's not anymore.
Huh, that's a shame.
He was doing weird esports stuff, like creating a weird shooter that went nowhere, so, yeah.
Huh. Well, alright. Okay. That was your Dota update minute. We haven't had one of those in quite a while, actually. We haven't had one of those at all. That's good.
That wasn't an update.
That was an update. You updated us on Dota-related news. How's that? Did you try any of that turbo mode? What's your thoughts on that big new Dota update?
People seem to like it, so that's cool.
Okay. All right. Okay.
What's Dota? I'm not going to play it.
Okay.
Why play when I can watch it?
That makes no sense to me, but sure. I'm sure that's a valid way to do things. But for me, I like playing video games more than I like watching them. Except for when it's for charity, since...
Tiny's in the meta for a reason, even though he's not good, apparently. So, I don't know.
Well, Tiny's always been rock hard, you know? Just solid as a rock, and he's just a quality character.
This whole thing sucks, son. Can we just start over?
No, we may never start over. We're going to keep going. Let's talk about some video games, though. How about that? Does that sound good? Does it sound good to you to talk about video games? So, Extra Life happened again this week. That's where Mary and Jake are, dead from that. They're both dead in a ditch somewhere from playing way too many video games for way too long of a time. But I had my Extra Life stream this week, also a little bit, the other half of it. And I got to play a bunch more games that I've been meaning to play. And one that you like, Popcans, is SteamWorld Dig. This game, pretty cool, guys. I heard a long time of, like, SteamWorld Dig and SteamWorld Heist being, I don't know, good games, quality games, you know, whatever you want to put in front of them, and people being really excited for the second one and stuff.
Are you talking about the first one or the second one you played?
The first one. I played the first one, not okay. SteamWorld Dig 2. I stayed with SteamWorld Dig 1. Because I'd heard when did it come out? Last week, I believe? One of those days? So, I played that.
What?
Didn't SteamWorld Dig 2 come out? Or was it announced last week?
It came out a month ago.
Did it come out a month ago? My God.
Month and a half?
Time is moving at a rapid pace. That's a lot of video games have come out. I apologize. But I had heard about it coming out, right? And so I had wanted to play this on my stream for a while. I have it on Origin, which was, let me tell you, trying to figure out your Origin key again. I'm like, hey, what's my password for Origin, which I never log into. That's a fun experience. But SteamWorld Dig's, like... I was really impressed with it. I think it's actually does a lot of very smart things with how it, you know, it's kind of Minecrafty in that you're like digging into a thing to collect minerals and stuff. But it reminds me a lot of a bunch of Flash games I played back in the day where you would do kind of a similar thing, whether it be like, I don't know, dig into the ocean or something like that to try to find resources and bring it back and upgrade, like a kind of endless kind of game kind of thing. But I think it does it. It really takes, I don't know, those ideas and it cranks it up to 11. It's so well polished in spots. It's got a great look. I like the music. I know you mentioned at some point to me, Popcans, that you thought the music in the second one was better, but I don't know. I think the music's pretty good. It's cool. It's got a good Western feel to it. It's good. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, no surprise. It's really good. I think second one's weird because they do some drastic changes to it, which I'm not a super fan of. Though mm-hmm. I think the game's amazing.
So is this something you finish, or is it just gone forever? Like you just keep digging?
No, it's definitely a finish. Definitely finish the game.
Yeah, I didn't get the sense it was like a Minecraft in that you know, you can keep going down forever. It was more of like you have set goals, you have upgrades you can get. Like there's this small cave thing you go into to get these boots that make you able to, you know, run and jump. Run at like an exceedingly fast pace and then jump. So I would imagine all those kind of things build towards some different kind of platforming stuff also. And it's kind of like, I don't know, it's got, you know, the progression system is the mining, is the building the town out, is kind of, you know, going down, grabbing your stuff, going back up. But then it also kind of builds out, you know, different mechanics from the upgrades and from the different cave things you find down in it that, you know, it builds it in some interesting ways that I kind of had not considered for a game like that to, I don't know, it's cool the way it builds out mechanics and stuff. Through a progression system.
And, like, the second one's definitely more gamey. It's definitely more of Metroidvania, where it's a lot more... The world's a lot more open, and mm-hmm. there's definitely a lot more upgrades. But the first one, I like how... It's not trying to do a lot. It's just... It wants to make a mining game. There's definitely challenge rooms where you have to We had to complete them to get. You can sometimes you get the upgrades.
But, yeah, like the shoes.
There's just mining stuff. You can just rare minerals, but it's most of it's still just like going down these tunnels and collecting, and then they come back up. And I like that pearl, the pure essence of it. It's like it's not trying to do a ton, but I think what they do is very well done.
And I think the kind of key thing with it, right, is that you have that kind of mining stuff. But that does get boring. I mean, regardless of how many different flashes you put on, it does get a little boring.
For you, maybe.
It does, well, yes. It does get a little boring at times, so having that kind of platforming stuff or, you know, challenge room kind of things keeps things fresh, I think. It keeps it moving in a way. And then you also have the stuff above, the stuff in the town, and kind of that stuff, which is cool. I don't know how much they build that out in the second one, but... the kind of going up and seeing the town slightly change because of minerals and stuff that you're bringing up, I think that's cool. I think that's like another way to keep things moving, keep things going, keep things fresh, rather than kind of having it bogged down, which I think a game like this could get bogged down very easily in just a mining thing. Yeah, I don't know. Stable Old Take, it's pretty cool. I would say give it a try if you're... If you like that kind of game, if you're somebody who plays a lot of, I don't know if you would consider it Metroidvania or what, but...
So are you going to jump into the second one right away, or...?
Yeah, I think I will at some point. There's just so many games.
There's so many games, man.
Well, you need to follow the chronological order and play Heist.
Oh, is Heist 2? Is there an order? Is there like a... Okay.
No, I'm making a bad joke.
Oh, okay.
Well, first, you gotta go back to the DSI game, the tower defense game. That's really awful. And then play Dig 1, and then play Heist, and then play Dig 2.
Okay. All right.
To get the full story.
Yeah, I had not... I guess until I played this, I had made a connection between SteamWorld Dig and SteamWorld Heist. I don't know why, but it had never clicked for me that... Oh, those are probably actually like same world kind of stuff or whatever, similar, same developer and stuff. I kind of had just been like, oh yeah, SteamWorld Heist. Yeah, that's a game. Uh-huh, okay. Now, this makes a lot more sense. This connects things.
It's fair, there's nothing, there's actually nothing connected to them, really.
I guess, but...
War-wise. Oh, this is...
It's the same developer, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. My little gray cells, as Mr. Poirot would say, didn't make the connection totally that they were the same developer, same type of thing. But now, yeah, I think I would try out SteamWorld Heist maybe after. And wait on SteamWorld Dig 2 until, like, I don't know, after... Probably after this year and it closes out. Because, man, just too many games. And there's too many games that I really want to play right now rather than that. And I mentioned Poirot just a second ago, and I'll move into that game. That's another one I played during my extra live stream. It was the ABC Murders and Agatha Christie joint. This is a pretty cool game. It's an adventure game where you play as Mr. Poirot. If you follow literature at all, he's like a French Sherlock, if you will. He's much more of a cerebral psychology kind of guy rather than Sherlock's observational skills. It's pretty cool, but yeah, it wasn't a good game to stream because it's a little slow and boring, and it does some things I kind of don't like with the genre of trying to solve mysteries and stuff, like, I don't know, giving you clues in the questions it asks you and stuff. I'd rather them just give it to me, just like, here, figure this out, rather than, here, hey, which one of these three things matches up? It's like, well... One of them makes no sense, so these other two must. And it's, I don't know, and there's trial and error stuff that I don't like. Go ahead.
So is it an adventure game, or is it like puzzles?
It's an adventure game, but it has like a little bit of that, like, you know, what time did this lady die? We last seen between this hour and this hour, match them up. So it's an adventure game with some kind of puzzling elements, but it's very simple stuff. It wouldn't be a witness or something like that. It's not that kind of puzzle game. It's more of a...
Sure. I've just I've never heard of this game before. What can you compare it to in terms of other games?
I compare it very strongly to those Frogware Sherlock games, ironically enough. It's kind of like those. I would probably also say it's a lot like Walking Dead, too. I mean, it has those kind of similar things, and that's the kind of level of puzzles we're talking about, right? Where in The Walking Dead, there's some basic puzzles where you got to go grab something, pick it up, and put it somewhere. And that's about it for that, really. It's not like an amazingly deep game. It's a Telltale. It's a one of these kind of new adventure games. Pretty simple, but it was fun enough. I enjoyed it, even though.
Oh no, I think it was much more. I think compared to Telltale is not accurate. It's a much more old style adventure game for sure.
Okay, maybe if you were older Telltale, maybe would be a better. Like Sam and Max would be maybe a closer.
Except with none of the personality and yeah.
Hey, Pearl has plenty of personality for you. Can you see his mustache? Do you see it? How much personality did
he have? He was a dick to that lady. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I was really regretting that and thinking I really fucked this thing up. But
calling people liars, it generally doesn't do well for you.
True. No, that's fair. Doesn't usually work out great. I think pretty fun. I don't think it's like amazing or anything, but it was for what I played of it so far. It's been pretty solid, and I definitely want to beat it. It made me want to go and play the new Telltale Batman or something like that, or the new Life is Strange, because I had missed those kind of games for a while. I liked it anyway.
Yeah, it looks cool.
It's all right. It's, you know.
Yeah, I like the art style.
Being someone that watched a lot of the Poirot, was it BBC or was it PBS, did a whole series on Agatha Christie's Poirot novels. It was like 10, 12 seasons of it, where they adapted tons and tons of those novels and made them into kind of a television show kind of thing. And I watched a lot of those, so this was one of those like, hey, okay, let's go watch this. I didn't remember the ending of the ABC murders, so I couldn't necessarily be sneaky spoiler, but I bet they have the same ending. I don't think it changes much. Also, I don't know. That new movie looks cool, too. The Murder on the Orient Express, that's also an Agatha Christie joint, too.
So, anyway. Poirot?
Poirot? Yeah. Nice. Poirot, yeah, Mr. Agatha Christie's Poirot.
Thanks for joining us, Optics.
Oh, thanks for joining us, Optics. Mr. Poirot, yeah.
Wait, no, Mr. Agatha Christie?
Mrs. Agatha Christie?
I'm pretty sure you said Mr.
Did I? No, Agatha Christie's Mr. Poirot. I think I probably said that. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Could have been Mr. Poirot. We're in an alternate universe where Agatha Christie was a guy. It's fine. Everything's fine.
It's your cosplay. Yep.
I could cosplay as Agatha Christie. Yeah, sure. I mean, that's yeah. Sure. Final game that I kind of want to
by next year.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Yeah.
No. It's fine.
Can I keep talking over here?
Final game that I wanted to talk about was Hand of Fate. That second one came out last week. That was probably the one I was thinking of. And that game is really cool, guys. I think I really want to play the second one now and see how to develop the concept. So basically, it's a kind of like a board game you're playing against this magic man who has a bunch of cards. And on each card, as you kind of move your little token from card to card, they turn over and an event will play. So like a good example would be Hall of the Goblin King or something like that, where you move your guy onto a card, it flips over. It's Hall of the Goblin King, so you gotta go kill some goblins. And then the guy will draw three other cards and say, here you go, you have to fight five goblins in this encounter or something like that. And it's really interesting the ways in which they do it. So the combat thing is kind of a very bog-standard brawler. Not even like a Batman combat, just kind of really... really, really standard, not very inspiring. But I think the thing that's inspiring is the ways in which, you know, the cards you equip to your character, they obviously affect the way in which you're able to do things in the third person action part of it. And it's a cool dichotomy between the two, where one will affect the other and the other will affect You know, it's really cool in that way. The way it, like, back and forth, like, you'll pick up a new sword with in the board game part, and that means you can kill people really quickly in the other thing and lose less health, and it's cool. I don't know. It's a cool way of doing a board game in a video game. It takes the idea of a board game and makes it into a video game in an interesting way.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it's all right. It's I would say if you like board games, or if you're somebody who is at all interested in that kind of stuff and in that kind of cool way mechanics work in games, it's I would say pick it up. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. So it's Hand of Fate. It's cool. I like it a lot. It's got a unique look, certainly, too. It's got this kind of old school, almost like, I don't know, early Lord of the Rings drawings and stuff. Like that kind of really early fantasy artwork and stuff like that. From, like, I don't know, Grim Fairy Tales and stuff. It's got a really neat look. And then you're obviously progressing through the game through a bunch of different, like, end bosses kind of thing. At the end of the brawling sections is an end boss, which is cool. They've been pretty easy so far. I mean, it's not a very complex mechanical game in terms of the fighting, but I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, all I know about this game is I've like absorbed through osmosis from like listening to podcasts of other people mm-hmm. playing it. But it does sound cool, and I do have it in my library from like a bundle at some point. I would like to play it.
Yeah,
I hear it's very intriguing, if nothing else, an original.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like, I think the thing that made me go like, oh man, this is really cool, is they have these kind of like little side quest cards, right, that you can happen upon as you move around the board. And you might land on like the Dead King's Hall or something like that. And then if you do that and you complete it and you get the proper result, whether it be through the third person combat system or through like a roll of the dice they might make you do, then you could get a token, and that token would open later on after you beat the actual mission, and you get the second part of that, and you kind of keep going where, you know, you're on like Dead King's Hall 5, and you've kind of completed this quest chain. It's not your main quest, but it's kind of a side questy thing, and I think that's really something. It's something I didn't expect this game to do, having like kind of side quests and stuff. I kind of thought you would just be kind of progressing through it rather than having some kind of like, I don't know, metatextual side questy stuff, which is, I don't know, it seems really cool.
How long does like a full game take? Or is it like, do you need multiple runs, or is it just like one run and you're done, or what?
I think, you know, there's probably about, let's say, 20 bosses, right? And you kind of progress through each boss area, and you kind of get cards and whatever, and then at the end of every area you get new cards, and then you go to the next boss. To do that whole thing, probably like 15-20 minutes per one, so it's not an incredibly long game in terms of each play, which makes it good for like kind of quick in and out. But at the same time, I think it's gotten more complex as I've gone along, so it might be longer by the end of it. So by the final boss, it might be taking you like, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour or something like that to get through one of the board game sections to hit all the cards and stuff. But again, I'm also like trying to hit all the spots on the board so I can figure out what's there. I want to turn over all the cards rather than not turn over the cards. Yeah.
Are there trap cards?
There are trap cards, indeed. You can fall down holes. You can happen upon things that are very bad, like negative situations where, like, you'll get, they'll turn over four cards, right? And it'll be like, you gotta pick one of these, but three of them are either like critical fail or normal fail cards, where if you land on those, or if you pick that one, you're gonna lose health or armor or food stuff. So there's certainly trap cards. But you can always get out of those situations too, which I think is cool. There's always a success way. There's always a way to move through a thing without messing it up terribly.
Is that just random, or do you actually have to know what the card?
I think it's random, but I can't be sure. It might be random, but you might be able to actually pick the card if you were fast enough with your eyes. But I wasn't really paying attention to whether or not he was actually shuffling them. I was going with my gut. Anyway, yeah. So that was Hand of Fate, and with that, that's kind of all the games I played this week that I kind of wanted to talk about. DJ, sir. Okay, let's talk about Horizon Zero Dawn. So, Popcans, you played this, and Cyber, I think you played this also.
Yeah, I marathoned this thing as soon as it came out, pretty much.
So, have you... I guess my first question is, did you play through the original Horizon, Cyber?
I've played the original Horizon, full game, like, 5 times now. Like, I really, really, really like that game.
Okay. And so, my understanding was... with the original game, it was robot dinosaurs, right? That was the original.
You fight robot dinosaurs with like future tech arrows and fire arrows and all sorts of crazy stuff. It's a good time. It's a really good time fighting robot dinosaurs.
Okay.
And the story is really good too. Like, I did not expect to be as like enthralled in that, and they pull off some stuff that I did not expect. So
really, okay,
yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but just suffice to say that there's a big payoff for like all the questions they set up. Like, they answer them all in really original ways that I quite enjoy.
Okay.
And so then this
so the new DLC came out, Frozen Wilds.
It's also the name of a mobile game, apparently, but yes, it's called Frozen Wilds. So this is like, it's $20 on PSN, $15 if you have PS Plus, and it's supposed to take place like during the middle of the game. But after finishing it, like, I'm like, that could have been like post game stuff too. I'm not really sure why they did that. Why they decided to make that. Maybe it's just one or two questions like that the original game leaves open they didn't want to address. But it might as well have been like a post-game thing for me. Like, it's all new characters. They acknowledge the stuff that you've done in the main game, like your save. And yeah, it's pretty good. It's like, you know, all in total, it took me about 15 hours or so to beat and get through all the side quests and main quest and all that stuff. I'm trying to think where do I start here? So you just go up to this place where it opens up a new area of the map.
Right, okay.
It's all snow.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's all snow. You can tell they really went into the snow thing because they added all this crazy like snow tech where her armor gets like covered in snow, whatever you have on.
Really? Okay, that's cool.
It looks realistic. The ground is covered in snow and you leave like tracks everywhere. Like, or everything leaves tracks everywhere. Like, not just like footprints. It's like you actually are like carving a path through the snow. It's 3D. It's modeled. It looks cool.
I think what impressed me is when I was fighting humans and I killed one of them, and the level of like pretty much the snowman they made with their corpse was like, I was impressed how well it was.
So there's a photo mode in the game where you can have Aloy take like certain poses, and they added a snow angel emote that will actually make snow angels in the snow. It's pretty cool.
Oh, really? Huh. So I would imagine they probably did the Frozen thing because of, like, it's getting to be Christmas time and to kind of, like, feed off of that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, no. I imagine that. The tribe that you're interacting with, they're called the Pinook, and they're like a tribe of hunters, primarily, and their whole focus is that they come from this place called Banur, which is way up north. And they didn't really get fleshed out very much in the game, except for, like, through one side quest. There's no like settlements they had or anything like that. All the other tribes had that stuff. But yeah, you're going up through this place. It's not Banur, but it's kind of between Banur and where the original game takes place. It's called the Cut, and it's just ice and snow. And I think it's supposed to be present day Yellowstone.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's like all these cool like hot springs and geysers everywhere.
They had no in game talking about how. The history of Yellowstone, where I think like 2030, the government like sold off like Yellowstone.
They at some point, these little text points you find that have like lore in them, like, you know, like what went on before the apocalypse, and one of them does mention that Yellowstone Park closed at some point, and so it's probably around where you are.
Okay, interesting.
Also, there's a big dam. I don't know my geography very well of like that area of the States, but and there's a big dam you run into at one point. That's part of a quest. I don't know if there are any big dams around Yellowstone. Maybe that's a real life location. Maybe it's something they invented. I don't know. Nobody here knows about Yellowstone? Okay.
I don't know. The first thing that jumped to my mind in that area would be Hoover Dam, but that's way too far away, I think, if it's close to that. I don't know, there's probably several dams in that area. They've probably, I don't know, throughout history, there's probably been some dams there. The Yellowstone River passes through there, right? I believe the Yellowstone River is kind of the thing in Yellowstone. I don't live out that way, so I have no idea, but I would assume that there's probably a dam somewhere in the Yellowstone.
But yeah, they also added some new machines for you to fight. Like there's these scorchers, which are like giant jackals, basically, is the best way I can describe them, that also have like fire powers, which is interesting. They're like grizzly bear machine.
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, Optics.
Oh, hey, it's working. Sorry.
Hey. There you go. You did it. Hello.
I'm on voice activity now. That's working.
Cool. Just finish my thought, though. Like, the new machines are much harder than I think the machines in the base game are. They didn't add very many, but what they did add is like, it's pretty impressive how many like different abilities they have and all their AI and stuff like that. It's cool. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I've heard very good positive things about it. It seems like a pretty comprehensive DLC package.
Yeah, for $15, like this is a lot of stuff for $15. I think.
Well, I think it's version 20, but.
Yeah. 2015, like it feels like you're getting a decent amount of stuff for that.
Surprised they made it work.
Sort of, I think sort of, but then again, it's a weird thing where the DLC design itself, I think, is very bad. It's very old. Where it's pretty much they just made more of the game, but they made it so like they made it take place in the middle of the game. So, for a game that came out 9 months earlier. Making DLC where if you already beat the game and there's no good place to start it, it's not very good because obviously people who beat it, they're going to have to reload a save just to be able to play it.
I agree. I totally agree with you because there's a lot of confusion for like a very long time about what time period the DLC takes place in. Because that very first trailer they showed at E3, like she's wearing this armor that you get at the very, very end of the game, the shield stuff, Shield Weaver, I think it's called. And then we find out, like right before release, like no, you can play it if you have not finished the game. You're right. It's a bit weird in that way. I think I would have preferred if they had just said this is like a next small chapter in the story rather than this is the thing you have to.
Yeah, I wish they would have made it standalone. But they
or make it standalone. Yeah, that would work too.
They made it so the best way to play this game was to play it all at once and never have played the original. And that's definitely something that DLC nowadays has definitely improved upon, making a DLC either standalone or making it for multiplayer. So have the old ways. This is DLC how it first came on the scene, like with Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, where it feels like they cut content they cut from the game. To sort of DLC. Obviously, I'm not saying this is not what it is, but it's this design of DLC.
Right. It seems like at least from what you guys are describing, it was content that they just couldn't finish or get into a good shape for release.
It does not feel like there was a piece of Horizon missing, and this fits that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This feels like a new thing, but. The way they kind of shoehorned it into the middle of the game is a bit weird. Yeah.
But the thing is, this is probably one of my only complaint about this so far. I think I'm about 70. I just challenged the dude to be the...
Okay, so you're like, you know, 50... Yeah, you're like 50% of the way.
I did most of the side content so far, so...
Okay.
But yeah, so I think, yeah, decent way in. And so far, I'm... No complaints. It's again, I think Horizon is a fantastic game. Probably top couple for me, one or two this year. And this is more of it. So obviously, I'm going to be very happy playing it. And I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, and I like that they've added some, like, new weapons and new like armor and stuff like that you can get.
Even though I don't think new weapons are good, like the flamethrower and the shock, I don't think they're. It's like, hey, let's just make a weapon based on.
Yeah, that stuff's a bit. The ice flamethrower thing is kind of cool. Like how quickly you can freeze things with that. I like that a lot.
And the armor. I mean, I'm not going to change my armor. I got the shield armor. I'm not.
The armor is probably like the least impressive stuff. They do have like new versions of bows and stuff where you can hold it down even longer for more damage.
Yeah, and I did. Cool. I mean, I'm starting to get the two ones I use most. So that's cool. Having even more powerful weapons. Like, I think the enemy you're talking about, like the super hard one, I haven't faced yet, but I'm excited to face him because the new one I did fight is pretty tough.
Oh so. Yeah, you're like halfway through. Like there are you will face a lot more of those guys throughout. The rest of the main quest, but yeah, you haven't got there yet. If you were, I think you are.
Yeah, I think the DLC itself is great, but the best thing about it is it's the DLC for probably one of the best games of this year. So
it feels really it feels polished. I'd say more than the base game. Like you can tell they took some of the criticisms about like the lip syncing and stuff to heart, because like it feels like every single conversation has custom animation and stuff in it now.
Yeah, and I can definitely see that, and I think a lot of the side quests are pretty good. Like,
yeah, there's more variety. Like a lot of the side quests in the main game were like use your focus to like follow a trail, and I think there's like one or two at most in this DLC of those.
Like, yeah, because. The side quest with the three hunters I thought was pretty great storytelling about how obviously they came off as like roguish and whatnot, but then when you start learning more about them, you start learning more about their backstory and you get a pretty great story piece.
Yeah, it's told well. Like it's paced well. Yeah, yeah.
And it's doing it while leading you along to. Battles like to pretty great combat scenes where that they can have big battle scenes because they have three AIs helping you, so they can do more. I like how the AI is actually feel like they're actually doing something in combat. I feel like they're holding their own, so that's
at the very least they're like doing like effects for like I feel like a lot that your AI companions have like freeze or fire effects that they're shooting off now as opposed to the main game.
Yeah, I feel like in the main game, whenever like the card, like the Carger or like the Romans, like help you in battle, they usually just die. Like,
they're almost useless.
Yeah, I feel like these guys actually are pretty helpful.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Melo main play is something most people haven't seen. I think I actually faced a pretty big bug, where I actually can't finish the one bandit camp in the game. For whatever reason, I cleared the leaders and I got the weapon, but I can't clear every time I can't clear the camp. Like I kill everybody, but it won't register as me clearing it. So I think forever I'm just not being able to clear this bandit camp. So
yeah,
unfortunate.
There's a part of the like 100% completion meter is like tied to these like special mods you can get for your weapons and armor. And there's a bug where one of them will just not spawn in the world, and I have that bug too. So, like, I can't get this mod, and I can't finish my 100%. So, yeah, that kind of sucks.
Okay.
Overall, like, it's totally worth it so far for me.
Cool. The only question I would have is. I don't know what you guys feel, but I feel like Horizon originally kind of got eaten by. Breath of the Wild, right? Like, everyone was talking about that, and Horizon was there and did alright, but it never really, I don't know, got the massive amounts of hype and respect it probably deserved. Do you think this new DLC will, like, I don't know, get people to come back or look at it again?
I hope so. They have a complete edition coming out in December that has all this stuff bundled together on one disc or download. Yeah. I hope people play it. Like, I know the release window was unfortunate. Like, if this thing had come out like a little bit earlier or a little bit later, I think it would have done fine. But I wish that they given some space between this and Zelda, because it seemed like everybody dropped everything to play Zelda.
Yeah.
And this maybe got left by the wayside, which I think is unfortunate.
I still think it sold very well, and
oh yeah, it totally sold well. It's just like, you know, like a lot of people on like Giant Bomb and these other places have not really finished it. So,
well, yeah, I guess. And I don't know. I don't think the DLC will get much more people in. I hope the Cleat Edition gets sold very well, but I'm not sure, honestly. It will,
But it might give them a second look, right?
I mean, I think it's different from like the Uncharted DLC, where it's a separate thing. It's a standalone story. It's sort of a full game, but mini like a side piece. Or this is just more of the same game. So
it's, yeah, like it can't hurt to have like this kind of people talking about the game again. So I'm happy about that.
Definitely, and I'm glad the game got supported with this DLC. That's very good.
Yeah, I was not expecting them to announce like a piece of DLC this big as early as they did. Like, I thought there's no way they would have anything at E3 to talk about, and then that trailer dropped, and I was hype.
And honestly, while playing this, it just made me wish that I can play I could play a sequel right away, because I just wanted to keep playing this game. So,
yeah, for sure. Like by the end, I really like the story. It leaves a lot of stuff open for what they could do with a sequel, which I think is cool. We'll see if they do or not.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think I want to give that game a try. It seems really cool, and it's one of the reasons I picked up a PlayStation 4 to begin with. It was the original trailer for it looks so amazing. So, you know, I think I'll give it a try at some point, maybe with that complete collection. It looks cool.
No, I totally think Horizon is the PS4's killer app.
Yes, it seems that way to me, too. It seems like a really, really strong contender, too, for Game of the Year stuff, so that's cool.
Yeah, to me, this is to the PS4 what Halo was to the Xbox. Like, I know they're different games, but that's how it appears in my mind.
With that, let's move on. Do you have anything else to say on Horizon Optics, by the way? I can edit it back.
Horizon is a very good game. Okay. Everyone should play it if they can. Is that new, like, you mentioned the all-in-one on one disc thing. I'm pretty sure that's cheaper as well. It's not like full price.
I would hope so.
I think it's just the cost of a full... Like the game, the base game itself has been pretty cheap for a while now. So I think this is just like basically the price of a full game, like $60 or so.
The Cleat Edition is $50.
Okay.
And releasing it, like you said, December 5th.
Okay.
No, yeah, totally worth it.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to another big game that I think multiple people here played. Let's talk about Mario Odyssey. It's Mario time, everybody. Mario's. So I think DJ and Cyber played some Mario.
I saw the ending thanks to Mary's extra live stream.
Oh, spoilers! Don't spoil me, please, God. Don't.
It's some ending. I'll see.
Ending's pretty good. And that thing before it was pretty good too.
Don't spoil it, please.
Okay, no spoilers.
Does Mario have a story? And like, it's the thing I keep asking people whenever they talk about Mario. Is like, hello, man. Like, I'm just the way they did story and like Zelda. As far as now, like
Mario has characters doing things, so yes, in that respect, it has story.
Mm-hmm. Does it redefine not. Mario? Is the ending of this game like, oh shit, Mario's actually a Goomba? Or like, does it go some twisted, dark path? Is genre defining in that way? Did they do weird, interesting things with it? Or is it
I think the beginning of the game does that, where all of a sudden Mario gains the ability to possess his enemies as though he were a ghost.
Huh.
And it's like, was Mario always like, what about this hat that you have discovered allows Mario to disappear? Like, he has no physical form. He is now totally inhabiting the body of this enemy. And then he can just jump out and leave at any time.
Okay.
That's the part of this that I don't understand. And it's never really addressed, but it's also a kid's game. So I guess I can live with that.
Okay.
They don't address the major existential issues that in the way you may hope they do. But
does Luigi, the best Mario brother, show up?
Not in person.
Okay, that's unfortunate. He's the best Mario brother. That's unfortunate.
You can unlock a Luigi hat and outfit. So There's okay. that. Okay. If you want to be Green Mario with an L on his cap, then you got that.
Okay.
But you know, I now have, I think over 500 moons. I'm like 509 or something like that.
Jeez. How many moons are there in the game? Like 600, 700, 1,000?
I keep having to look this up, and I keep forgetting. It's like 800 something. But then you can just keep buying moons once you get to the post game forever.
What?
Just to like boost your count until after you get until you get to 999, and then you can't the counters doesn't go up anymore.
That's really weird.
It's a really weird thing. And that's the one thing that's one of my major like kind of issues with the game is that moons are just like everywhere. Like you can find one. First you can just buy one in the shop and then you can just buy them all. So, but you can just like, you'll just find them like hanging out like on top of a hill. It's like, oh, there's a moon there. Oh, there's a moon. I just talked to this one person while wearing the right outfit. And I kind of liked it. Oh, wasn't Mario 64 better, where like each moon had this kind of like a semi-significant task associated with it?
Mm-hmm.
And here they're just like, those still exist. Like those tasks are still there, but you still only get like at most like a multi-moon, which is like three out of it. And so as a result, I've been watching a lot of speedruns of this game, and like pretty much like all the main like big impressive like stuff that Nintendo put all the work into is kind of put by the wayside in favor of just like running around and getting the fastest moons you can that are just kind of scattered around. I don't know how I feel about that. I kind of wish that they had maybe differentiated like those big moons from the like little small task moons in some other way.
Okay.
But yeah, aside from that though, game's fantastic.
Can you talk about the one of the most things that most interesting about it for me is how the quote unquote post game content, like how like the stuff that you do after you reach credits, and like how difficult does it get like after you reach the credits and the stuff you do afterwards?
That's the typical thing to answer. Like there are definitely open up some stuff towards the end that is very, very difficult. But also they just, like, if you just want more moons, like they just kind of like scatter out some more just into the world that you can go get. They aren't very hard to get. There are a lot of costumes in the game that are gated by how many moons you have. Like, and so they want you to have some way to get all those. But yeah, they're,
Okay.
If you want a hard thing in Mario, like this has that, but it's not part of the main story. Like main story, you can finish fairly quickly because it's not that hard.
So, are you losing your incentive to keep playing because how much they're devaluing the moons?
Not really. Like at this point, all I have to do, pretty much all I have left, is like getting more moons to unlock some more outfits. I think I've seen all the kingdoms. Unless there's something I just don't know about. They unlock a few more in the post game. And one of them is really, the first one you see after the game is over is like, it's just pure nostalgia pretty much. I won't spoil it more than that, but it's really cool. I don't know. I'm at a point now where I don't really know. I want to save like what game, part of the game I have left for like when I'm on the go or when I'm commuting and stuff like that.
Okay. So there's no, like, I guess when, you know, you beat the game, there's no, like, I don't know, secret ending or something hidden behind a certain amount of moons or something, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I actually don't know that. Like, I know that there's one super hard challenge that you can do. I don't know if that unlocks, like, a new or anything special other than just another moon, right? I like this one, I think, almost as much as Mario 64. It's definitely higher than Sunshine. It's higher than Sunshine for me. I like it more than Galaxy and Galaxy 2. Like this is as close to Mario 64 as they've gotten so far, I think. But there is still room for improvement.
So you're maybe not as high on it as other people, because obviously the only thing I hear is undue amounts of praise, just heaps and heaps of it. So maybe
it's hard to get into all of it without spoiling it, right? Like the more you go. Like there are a ton of surprises in the way that like in like different places you visit,
And
like,
I think
really, it's just the moon thing. My main criticism is just the moon thing. Like, other than that, I think it's phenomenal. Like, I okay. love jumping. Like, I have to show my Switch to see how much time I put into it. But I put, like, you know, I think it's like over 50 hours or something at this point. It's really good. And that's all just one playthrough.
So here's my only question. Did you play Breath of the Wild?
Oh, God.
I did play. Yes, I got Breath of the Wild with my Switch at launch.
And you know the question is I'm going to ask is which is better? Is it Mario or is it Zelda?
There's no question. I'm not a huge... I'm not the fan of Breath of the Wild that so many other people are. Like, I got two dungeons in and I just totally fell off of it. Like, I could not... Like, there's too many issues, too many design decisions in that game that I don't agree with that I kind of just got frustrated and stopped playing.
Okay.
But this one, like, so if you're asking me to pick between the two, this one, like, 100%.
All right, okay. That's fair. Okay. I don't know. That's been, you know, from somebody on the outside going, like, which one would I get if I was going to get a Switch day one, you know, like, or, like, I don't know, for Black Friday? Would I get Legend of Zelda or would I get Mario? And I don't know. And it's been a question that I've been debating for a while, so that's all.
I think you can't go wrong with Mario.
Okay.
There's stuff for, like, all sorts of tastes in there, I think.
And then you get Horizon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wish you could play Horizon on the Switch. That'd be great.
To be fair, I'm not sure if I will like Mario. I'm scared I won't like Mario if I play it, so...
I'm kind of the same thing with Zelda.
What's your biggest concern, Popcans?
I never played a 3D platformer that I liked.
Oh, okay. Now you're 64.
No, I mean, I haven't played any Mario 3D platformer also.
Spoilers. Okay. They kind of do it best out of anybody, so if you don't like those, then...
You're... Fair enough. I haven't played the best, so I could very well really like this. I might, but I'm scared I won't, so how about I never test it to see if I will or not?
My problem has always been, like, I own Galaxy, and I own Galaxy 2, but I never really got into them really deep. Like, I played through them for a little bit.
You know what? Me too. Like, I don't... People love Galaxy, and... I never felt it was as good as the ones that could come before it.
But was that because the console wasn't good to play on?
That's one of the concerns I would have. Is like, is it because I didn't really like the Wii very much, and it's like, I don't know.
I think that as cool as the gravity thing is in concept, it doesn't actually translate to a huge amount of fun for like a whole game or two games rather.
Yeah, it's just like I've always wanted to be. You know, I've beaten 64, but I think that's the only Mario game I've beaten is that, and it's like, I don't know, I've enjoyed playing Mario games in the past and made some progress in them, but they've never been a game where I'm like, I really need to beat this game. This is a game that's like, I'm in love with, I gotta keep going. It was always kind of a, alright, I played some of that, that's fun, and now I'm kind of done. I wonder if... I don't know. Hopefully this new Mario would be that. Hopefully Odyssey would be my first, like, this
I'll,
is amazing.
I'll say that this one does not... This does not feel like a slog. Like, you can burn through the main story pretty quick if you just want to go. But you probably want to stop and, like, look at things along the way, which is nice. But it does feel like they... Like, each kingdom has a certain amount of moons you have to, like, acquire in it before you can leave. And it feels like they've tuned that for each kingdom just right. Like... If you don't like water levels, like, you only have to get 5 moons in the whole water level, whereas the desert one requires like 20 because it's really cool and expansive and there's a lot of stuff there versus the water level. It's an interesting choice. I approve.
Okay. With that, let's move on then, Cyber. You have one more game to talk about. It's called It's a Man Who Hits People, I believe. It's a Hitman. I don't know if you've ever heard of that game. It's a Hitman.
What's... Hitman's a cool game, you guys.
Yeah, it is. It's all right. They announced that new season 2 of the stuff coming out at some point. That seems really cool.
Yeah, in the most vague way possible, they said, we are making more Hitman. I'm like, cool. I'm glad that you're doing that. I'm very glad that you're making more Hitman, as vague as that is. But yeah, this Game of the Year content just dropped the same day that the Horizon DLC did. I went played through Horizon first, like, as much as I could, and then the other day I popped in Hitman and said, I'm going to try this stuff. It's all right. The content they put out just now, this game of the year stuff. Like they've redone the UI in some cool ways. They've redone like four of the maps to fit these sort of new mini campaign they have, where like one mission kind of leads to the next. I think the last mission in the campaign is really cool in the way that the other Hitman mission, like no other Hitman mission in this game has been before. So I think it's kind of a shame that you have to get these other three missions, which are kind of bland by comparison. Like they're kind of on the level of like what the elusive targets were in season one, where it's just like,
sure,
there's one more target on the map and maybe a few more NPCs and some kind of scenery dressing around it, but that's about as much as you get.
Mm-hmm.
The third mission is very different too, but it's not as much fun. It's pretty much entirely just sniping.
Oh, okay.
Like exclusively sniping. Like that's all you can do to hit guys in that one.
Well, they made that Hitman Sniper whatever, right? At some point, it was like a little side spin-off of a game, so I could see them doing that. Yeah, okay.
I think Square Enix Mobile made that.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure. Okay. Yeah, I haven't played it.
I guess it's just established, though. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but the gameplay twist they introduced in the fourth mission, I think, is really cool, and I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
I don't know if it's worth the asking price for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I just played some of the contracts today too, and you can tell that they've been working on like mechanics and stuff, and you can see what they would do that with that if they were to make another season. We'll have to see if they do.
Okay. Yeah. Are they still doing elusive targets? Like I haven't logged in and played that game in a while. Are they still keeping up with that, or have they made, I don't know?
They did that all the way through, I want to say, like, March or April, I think, was the last one. Maybe May. I'd have to double check. And then they stopped. So what they've decided to do now is basically they're doing they're looping back around to the first one. And so they're going to do them all again, but you can only attempt them if you have never attempted them before. So, like, I didn't get Hitman until after the first elusive target was already finished.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have an opportunity on the 17th here for 10 days to try and get that one again.
Okay. Interesting. All right.
But it's a weird thing, though, where the value might not necessarily be there, but you maybe still want to buy it anyways just to support.
Yeah, that's true. Like, this is the first thing they put out where, as far as I know, they get like all the profit and not have to share that with Square Enix. Even so, just having more Hitman is cool. Like, I really like Hitman, and I'm happy to play more of it. I just think that the content they offer in this one is, I don't know if it's worth the full $20. I think that there's some of it's good, some of it's bad, so your mileage may vary.
But you could be a clown.
I can be a clown. I did do the clown mission today, and you have to run around. That's a weird mission, because he starts the clown, and then you have to... You don't actually kill people. You have to knock this guy out with a bat that you start with, and then pop balloons, and then you're done.
What?
Yeah, it's an escalation. It's not one of the four like main missions in the campaign. It's just like a side thing. That was kind of interesting. Also, I found out that 47 is virtually bulletproof now.
Really?
Like they've changed the way that either the damage of the guards or how often they fire or something. But like, I was able. I'll have a YouTube video that I'm going to post later. That's like me running into a room full of guards, hitting the target with my bat, and then running out while just being peppered with gunfire the whole time. And that's that. And then I escape. So like, I'm like, well, how does this even work? Like, what happened? You used to die so quick in this game.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'll say this about Hitman. I've had it installed on my computer since its release, so that's something I don't do at a game very much, so I gotta play more of it. It's pretty cool.
Have you finished all six episodes?
All six episodes done. I played through them all. Played them all. I think I beat two things completely. I think I beat Paris, and then I beat, San... whatever it is? San...
Italy?
Sapienza. Italy, yes. Sapienza. I think I beat them all. All the challenges and stuff for those two. I played that game a lot for a while. Man, I played that game a lot. I think I'll probably pick up that DLC just to So support for them.
Yeah, I mean,
and for their stuff.
I'm not going to advocate people do that. If you don't like the Hitman franchise, or if you don't think it's a good game, then don't bother. But it is a cool. There are good parts of it. There are good parts of this DLC that I think are worth seeing. Maybe if it's on sale, then pick it up for sure. Yeah,
it's cool. All right. I think that's all we can talk about today. Video game wise, we can move on to news then quick. If you guys
can't talk about Destiny for 80 hours.
You want to talk about Destiny? Go ahead. Tell me about. I've played too much Destiny.
What is this Destiny you speak of?
I'm good. I'm sorry. I'm good.
You sure?
Move on.
Tell me about the raid, Popcans. How's the raid been going? You sure you don't want to raid right now? Let's go raid, Popcans.
Okay.
Let's go raid.
Destiny?
Oh no, it's rain.
Where are you?
This is what happens when you say Destiny. Rain shows up. Oh no, run. Run. We're going to be forced into a raid or a nightfall or one of those things. Boy, Destiny's a great game, guys. Anyway, news. News.
Are you going to insert a jingle here in post, or is that...
Nope, that's the jingle. That's our jingle. I sing it every week. It's been really great for us, and everybody loves it. So how about we talk about Telltale Games? They're restructuring, cutting 90 staff, about 25% of their workforce. Big layoff. I think you had to see this kind of coming, don't you, guys? Like, boy, they scaled up there for a while, getting a lot of different accounts open with different, I don't know, whether it be Batman or Walking Dead. They became from a very kind of small studio to a gigantic one in a very short amount of time. So I think it represents kind of just a coming back down to earth. Not necessarily a failure, just like a figuring out how many people you actually need to employ to make the games you want to make. Right?
I discovered something interesting about Telltale adventure games the other day.
Go ahead. Tell me. What's interesting?
I don't like those games.
Oh.
Sorry. I tried to get into Tales from the Borderlands, which is like a bunch of people told me is like kind of,
aside
from Walking Dead, it's like the best one.
Mm-hmm.
And I got like halfway through the first chapter and I was like, I am so bored. Like that's not these kind of like heavy story based adventure games. Either I just don't like this one or they're just not for me. Like I need to be.
Did you play Life is Strange? You should play.
No,
Life.
I did not.
You should play Life is Strange sometime. Just do it for me. I don't. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Yeah.
I don't know.
You should do it. Do you like adventure games to begin with? Like, I think that's. I don't know. I like. I've always liked adventure games.
I grew up
so.
With. Like, I. That's what I played primarily. Like in my sort of formative years. Like, but I. I think after playing like other quote unquote real games, I don't think I have any desire to go back.
I mean, it's definitely not very mechanics heavy, right? So if you're looking for a little bit more mechanics in your adventure game, I don't think they have it. Telltale,
I can definitely
never
appreciate a good story. It's just if I feel like it's kind of meandering and taking a long time, then I get bored very quickly.
I don't know. I really like Tales from the Borderlands. I thought it did things with the Borderlands IP that I hadn't ever considered doing with that series, and it made it actually interesting. So
part of it was learning just how long I was gonna have to do it. Like I got through that part where you're in the very first episode where you have the robot come down and it's defending you, and there's like a kind of like an action sequence there, and then it switches to the perspective to another character. I'm like, oh, I'm not even all the way first through the first episode yet, and it's been like an hour and a half. I don't really want to do this for another 7 hours or whatever it is, so I just stopped.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I don't know. It can be very intimidating with those kind of games, especially when you know you're like, I don't know, if you're like looking at it as like, oh man, I'm halfway through the first episode and there's five more of these and I'm not really having a great time with it. I can totally understand.
Yeah,
that.
Like I think that's a thing that can turn a lot of people off of games is just the idea of like if it looks like there's a big long like
a tail on
the
end
of the tunnel, then yeah, they might say I don't know if I want to do this. That's fair. You know, that's totally fair. You know, we only have so much time to play games, and so
and there's so many of them.
The ones
so
that
I totally feel, yeah. Mm-hmm. don't know. I hope for good things for Telltale. They just need to remake their engine and stuff. Like, they've been running with the same kind of tech for so long. It's just so long. And you really see it, especially if you look at, like, so the Batman is their kind of most recent one. You can take a screenshot of that and look at The Walking Dead, and they look so similar in so many things.
I just remembered that I did play through, all the way through, I just blanked on the name now. What's the one with the wolf? The
Fables. Wolf Among Us?
The Wolf Among Us. I liked that one a lot. That one felt a lot more concise mm-hmm. than the Tales of the Borderlands one did when I played through it. So I played through it all.
I didn't think the Tales from Borderlands was their strongest work, even though some people would come out and say, like, oh, it's their best one Telltale ever made. It never really seemed like it. It's good. It's the best Borderlands game, I think, but that's not a very high bar. It's, I don't know, it's some.
Yeah, they announced they're making another Wolf Among Us, and I got excited about that, and then I forgot about it, so...
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know.
I hope that isn't impacted by this.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it will be. I think they need to... I think they'll probably remake their engine at some point, and everything will be fine. They just have some kind of a crude tech debt that they need to pay at some point. Like, they've been running so long with the same stuff and kind of not taking a breath to say, like, all right, what are we doing? Because, like, it seems like they just got, like, 70 different licenses all at once, and then had to make games on those.
Like, do you think this is a result of just, like, poor sales, or what do you think was the major cause?
I feel like, from at least, you know, reading some articles on this stuff and reading interviews, it was, you know, every company of this size scales up, right, when you're making a project. You're like, when you get a lot of money coming in and everything's kind of going real well, you know, you hire a lot of people. And as time has gone on, they probably kept kind of hiring, especially with all these IPs coming in. You know, you had Batman Walking Dead. And on these other ones, and at some point they probably said to themselves, like, okay, well, we're not getting a lot of new IP and a lot of new money in, so we probably have to figure out a way to get back to, I don't know, some kind of status quo. I think they're still a very profitable company, but it's just...
Yeah, I think you can only make games that are the size of theirs.
Yeah.
Of what they make with less than 360 people or whatever they had.
Mm-hmm. It just got too big, right? Like, I think it's just, you know, you kept hiring people, kept bringing more people on, kept bringing on contractors or whatever. And at some point, it was just like, all right, we've got way too many people for, you know, our operating costs are way too high for the amount of income we're making on these. Even though they're probably still making quite a good amount of money, and they're probably a very successful company in terms of revenue and stuff. But it's just, you know, any company that has to deal with big IP like they had to deal with, is gonna, especially how quickly, you know, Telltale was a very small studio, what, probably 5 years ago, and now they're like huge, like massive company, and that's a very quick amount of time to hire people and figure stuff out like that. So it's I don't think it's a failure of theirs. I just think it's a reality of the way the industry works and the way these companies like to scale up for different projects and stuff like that. So. It's a bummer for those people, certainly. But hey, you probably have pretty good references because you've made a ton of games. They've made a ton of games over the last few years, so they'll get somewhere. They'll find something. Maybe like at Respawn Entertainment, right, guys? EA has acquired Respawn Entertainment. They should let them make a good Battlefront game because apparently DICE can't do it. Because DICE is a garbage company filled with garbage people.
They're not that bad.
Is that a hottest take for you? Is that a hotter take? How many hot takes can I do on like controversial topics? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, no. DICE is not that bad. I'm just joking.
I did not see this coming.
No, nor did I. I don't know why. I can't really figure it out. I can't really figure out from Respawn's perspective. From EA, I totally get it. Right, like you close down Visceral, and then you're like, all right, let's go out there and make some purchases. Let's get some positive headlines. I get that from their perspective, but why in the heck Respawn, especially with how seemingly wanting to be independent?
From the reactions I've seen to this, it does not look like they're getting positive headlines.
I guess.
I don't know.
But stockholders or whatever, right? Like, EA hasn't had the best headlines with closing Visceral. I don't know. For stockholders, it'd be like, all right, we're making some moves. We're doing some stuff. Business. Purchasing companies. Yeah, we're big. We're EA. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. I like Titanfall. That seemed like a cool game. Titanfall 2 seemed like a good game that got buried. Apparently they came out and said that that was their idea, not EA's, which is madness. Madness.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think this is doom and gloom, as some people might say. Obviously, EA doesn't have the greatest track record with studios they acquire, but this is also Respawn. Titanfall is probably one of the biggest multiplayer shooter franchises right now. Especially with Call of Duty not exactly hitting it as of late. Even though I think this current one's probably going to sell way more than... it's going to be, again, track up where it sells, but critically it wasn't liked very much. But Titanfall is still very much a hot franchise right now, so I don't think... I think this only means good things. I don't think they're going to be shut down anytime soon.
No, yeah, it's going to be a while before they get the old EA axe, if they ever get it.
Do you think we'll see Titanfall 3 at next year's E3?
No. I'm going to go with no. I'm going to go with they will...
It's a few years out now, still.
Yes, I feel like it's a few years out. Even though I was joking, I think they could make a pretty good Battlefront. If Battlefront 2 underperforms, I could see them giving it over to them and saying, hey... Give this a try. Do the thing you do. Make a one of these things, because they have experience.
It's Battlefront 2, but everybody has an ATST.
Yes. All right. And they call them down.
They look like Titans, but they're sure they're just ATST 3 or whatever.
Like the thing about the original two Battlefronts games were these kind of, you know, the AI controlled characters, right? And I think Titanfall does that same thing with AI controlled characters and stuff. Or AI-controlled people in multiplayer matches and stuff. So I could see...
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I think there are applicable skills there, applicable ideas they work with that could work together.
Everybody's a Jedi, and all the AI grunts are like Stormtroopers and Rebels. I don't know.
Okay.
You could take that formula and apply it into some different ways. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think they're very good at... Like, I guess they only really made as Respawn Titanfall 1 and 2, right? Like, I can't think of any other game they made.
They've been working on a Star Wars game for EA for a few months now.
Oh, really?
They announced that back in, I forget.
One of the things. Sure, okay. I can see that, yeah.
It was very vague. It was just like, we are working on a Star Wars game for EA, and that was it.
It's like, I don't know. I would imagine every studio is probably trying to work on some kind of Star Wars game at this point, especially with the way Visceral went. Because EA certainly is not going to just sit around and let the Star Wars IP sit on a shelf. So, I don't know. It'd be cool to see them do something like that. I'd love to see them also branch out, even if it's not like a Battlefront shooter. I'd love to see Respawn try their hand at something else at some point. Something a little different, maybe. I don't know. See what happens.
TIE Fighter.
Yes. Immediately.
It's the same letters, TF.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, hell. Titan Fighter, there you go. Just flying around in Titans in outer space. Okay, now we're Gundam. That's fine. We can do this.
Does Star Wars have Gundams? Is that a thing? Like
Gotta be. Let me see. Giant mechanical robots and... I'm going to type this. Giant mechanical... Star Wars robots. I mean, they have, right, the AT-ATs, but there's gotta be others. There gotta be other kind of all-terrain transport vehicle kind of things. Giant mech things. Yep, there's a mech. Yep, uh-huh.
That looks like a Titan. I found one that looks a lot like a Titan.
Yeah, it looks actually a lot like a Titan. If you want to do that, if they want to just do Titanfall, but in Star Wars... Sure. I'm alright with that. I'm okay with that. Titan Star Wars fall. That's fine. I'm okay with that thing. Okay, let's move on. One of the last news stories we got here. Miiverse ended. I just want to mention that. That's the Nintendo Gaming Social Network. They closed the servers on that one. That's sad in some ways. A lot of good, weird artwork got lost in the mix.
Yeah, this thing, man.
It's a weird thing. I don't
it sure was. And beyond that, I don't know how to feel about this announcement of them closing it, because at one point, like, it all seemed kind of cool, but on the other hand, I had no involvement in it whatsoever, never having a Wii U or a DS, so...
It seems like something they could have made into an actual social network at some point. Like, it had the inklings of some kind of cool stuff there, but it never quite... They never quite took it seriously enough or did the right kind of networking stuff to make it really great. But there was some cool moments. There was some cool artwork that came out of it, some cool, like... stuff, and I think you've seen some of those news stories over the last week of, like, looking back on the Miiverse and the what this thing was, and I think, I don't know, I'd love to see them bring some kind of similar thing to the Switch at some point. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but that'd be cool. But that would require Nintendo to do stuff with networks, and that's never been a strong suit of theirs.
I don't know.
It's, you know, I'm really mixed feelings on it. But let me tell you, there's some great... Just go look up a bunch of weird images, because there's a bunch of them. Final news story, then. So GameStop has nearly sold through all of its Xbox One X supply in just 24 hours. It's pretty good sales, I think, for Xbox One X, which seemingly was not doing particularly well.
Do they actually have, like, a number of how many they ordered and sold?
I believe they do. One moment.
Because, like, if they ordered, like, you know, 100,000, then you're like, yeah, I could see them selling through all that. It's a question of, like, is it actually meaningful? Like, good for them for meeting demand, I guess.
I guess they did not say how many units they had ordered, which is probably pretty critical, but I can imagine, I don't know. That's an interesting question. You've made an incident. You just thrown me a conundrum there, sir. Yeah.
I know that Sony said, so at some point, Sony said that, like, every one in five PS4s that sold was a pro. I think that was how they gave that number.
Which is pretty big.
I don't know what the ratio will be for the Xbox One X in, like, a few months after the Christmas season.
Well, they could give a similar thing, but, you know, not a lot of people bought the Xbox, so it's probably, like, weirder, more skewed. I don't know. It seemed like the Xbox One X was not getting a lot of hype, and you know, anecdotally from talking to people that are much more of that kind of, I don't know, Xbox gamer, who play a lot more there, who you know, use the Xbox One already. They didn't seem particularly super excited about getting an Xbox One X. But again, I live in not a very affluent area, so 4K TVs aren't prevalent very much. So. It's like, hey man, Xbox One X is selling well, I guess. At least selling better than expectations, which is cool. But also,
yeah, I never, as somebody who does not have a 4K TV, I just have like a little 1080p monitor that I use for all my games. The PS4 Pro always seemed like a response to a sudden demand for 4K content. So Sony said, okay, we can't just cut off the generation this early. So we'll just make a device that is just more, just has just enough of an increase in power that it can display 4K on par with our other one.
Like, I don't know. For me, it's like, I still would say, if somebody asked me, like, hey, should I buy an Xbox One X? I would say never. You should never, you know. It's just not worth it. They don't have the standalone games that make it, I don't know. For me, it's just not worth it. Even if you had a 4K TV, I would say get a Pro rather than an Xbox One X. It's cheaper, and you can play games at 4K. Like, it's just, I don't know.
It is cheaper, yeah.
So I kind of thought it would sell kind of poorly because of that, but it's cool that it's actually selling really well. I don't know. It's like, hey man, having more consoles in the space and more people competing is always a good thing. It's always a good thing for competition. As this year has shown, no doubt. Yeah. So, yeah. I think that's a podcast. I think that's it, guys. Thank you for showing up, Pop. Thank you for showing up, Cyber.
Oh, you're welcome.
And with that, I got to say bon voyage. Let's wrap this up. You can find us on Twitch and YouTube and at Ramsbag on Twitter. Send emails to rumsback@gmail.com. If you want to watch any of the extra live streams we did, they will all be up on different YouTubes and streams, and I'll put together a little thing and link them all up so you can watch them at your leisure. I've been your host, Albie. This has been Roms Over Baghdad. Have a good week. Enjoy the video games.
Destiny?